start.
Yeah. It, when I said something, I can tell it started. It starts streaking green, so I guess it's working. Candy kind of spurred us on, telling us she was an Aquarius. I don't know if Bruce has filled you in, but I do a lot of teaching on constellations and on the signs. The age that we're living in, of course, is the age of Aquarius. It's begun. We don't have an exact date. Most ages run from 2,000 to 2,100 years. So we just moved into the age of Aquarius in the early 1900s, like 70. When did the fifth dimension make that song, The Dawning of the Age of Aquarius?
It was in the 80s. Mm-hmm.
Was it 80s? Sometime
in the 80s.
Maybe it was 80s. I think it was 70s.
It was in the late 60s.
It was
the late
60s.
68.
70s.
Okay. My husband's a date remember, so not me. Anyway, it introduced us into the age, so to speak, and the fifth dimension being the fivefold ministry. You know, your hand speaks of that ministry that's within you, as well as others, if they know it. Okay, let's see where we are right now. In the stars, our sun sign is Cancer. It's the sign of feelings, your all kinds of feelings, having to do with the emotional side of us. And if we didn't have emotions, we wouldn't be here. That's what moves our being, our body. It's emotion that we're doing. And thank God we have them. Not so sure we know how to use them yet, because sometimes we grasp those lower emotions that take us under. But kind of today, and mostly always when I'm teaching, I talk about relationships. And to me, your relationship with you is what counts. How well do you know yourself? Do you examine why you think a way, or why you feel a way, or why you want to do this, or how come? So I feel that questioning will bring up more questioning, and you going somewhere to satisfy that thing within yourself and building up your own character. Anyway, we are, the moon, however, is in Capricorn, and we had a full super moon in Capricorn this time. And Capricorn is usually for the good. It's the taskmaster of the universe. So it will hold your nose to the grindstones according to its judgments and calculations. I know some Capricorns, and I know how they behave. They have strict rules. They get here very, it's the most responsible sign, so to speak. So with the moon being full, it really affects the emotional part of all of us, although we're unaware, unless we know that it's affecting. Saturday morning, there was so much intensity in the air, and things negative kind of happening, that I said to my husband, what is going on? All this intensity. It was like everybody was on edge. I thought, well, go to your computer and see where the moon is. Because when I saw that it was in Capricorn, that's not a bad thing. However, Pluto was intensifying that Capricornian moon, which means we put really hard laws on ourselves and each other. And we can't live by each other's laws. That's an impossibility. I mean, I make rules and laws for you, but to get somebody to follow that, you know. Anyway, so that's where we are today, and it's still a supermoon. So that will influence. And I won't go into what all these signs, all the deacons are because of time. So y'all just have to follow me the best you can. I guess when I'm teaching anybody that I haven't taught before, the first thing I want us to understand, the scripture points out carefully in everything that we're studying right now, all of the New Age studies and all of that, that man is spirit and female. You are. All of us have male and female characteristics within us. But male, it speaks of spirit, and so is our divine feminine, hopefully, if she isn't fallen. Our soul is four-party, and I'll show us that in a minute. And we have a body that's emotional body within to express it. So it's awesome to me. However, what God is dealing with constantly and has been since the beginning of anything is each individual in their mentalities. Well, this is how this travels. A thought comes to you, and it takes you somewhere, usually. If you can remember it, Candy. Right. She was telling me that she couldn't remember sometimes. So, not that that don't happen to all of us. But anyway, a thought comes to your mind. And most people say you cannot help the thought that comes to your mind. I disagree with that. The reason I do is you can put yourself in an environment with an ambiance of peace, or you can choose to let it be hellish. That's your choice. So if I put myself in a negative environment, what can I expect? So you do have a choice even in that. Anyway, a thought comes. We attach a desire to it or not. If we've seen that thought before and it's been a hurtful, hurtful thing, we'll kill it before it gets to us. No, dude. I done been here, done that, and got the t-shirts, so I know you. You are not coming in. I choose not to think on that conscious level. I will move it to a higher consciousness. I intend to be happy today. I intend not to live in that thought. Anyway, we attach a desire to it, and then we have to will it to be. Yes, I will. This goes very fast in your thought processes. So most people never even think about how the process goes, and then we either emote it or not. So that's how we look. We're not that neat and not that perfect. Sometimes we have, our emotions are way out of whack. They're up here and down here. So are our desires. One day we want something, the next day we don't. Then some of them are eternal. And our willpower can become very weak if we're affected by the person or thing that we're thinking of. And all of us are. We all have family, and they will touch your heart. Usually before anything else, unless it's just the body of Christ, and they affect you too. So everything affects, and we'll say, well, we don't love one more than the other. That's a lie. Oh, that's a lie. And that we love everybody, and that's, we should know that the divinity within us does love everybody. But we're not here to love everybody. We're really not. We're here to understand people and be a part of them and not make them feel lesser. we're here to be an encouragement to mankind. The Aquarian nature chooses that usually. Most of the time they're much about being a humanitarian and covering all the ground. But we're going to have to get realistic here. We can't save everybody until I know that all the portions of me have been redeemed, which they haven't. I miss the mark sometime. I'm glad I missed the mark. It becomes my evolutionary driver to make me want to strive for something else. So, none of us are perfect. In church, out of church, whatever. Anyway, that's a picture of this. And this gets into the constellations. When Israel camped, our natural Israel, this is how they traveled and how they camped, always starting with Leo or Judah. The scripture says, send Judah first. Judah bespeaks those higher emotions in us of love and peace and joy and all those things we like around us, the good emotions. That's what Judah speaks of, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Send Judah first, which means also means praise. Or if you say praise, people always think of you lifting your hands. And of course that works if you want to do that. You don't have to lift your hands. It'd be more profitable for us if we would lift our minds and not so much our hands. Because if you don't lift your mind out of that trap, then you're trapped there. And most of mankind is trapped where they are, in some kind of circular, bottomless motion. Anyway, the scripture said, this is how you're supposed to live and march, and to me that's taking that high thing and putting it in my feet. If I don't put what I say in my walk, I'm not what I say I am at all. I'm just talking. Sometimes I live it, breathe it, and walk it. But every now and then I run into a stumbling block and I miss the mark. And that's okay. We came here to be human. We didn't come to just be divinity. He wanted us to embrace our humanity, looking over our lives and saying, how do I want to live this life? We all make choices. Everybody is constantly making a choice in what you think, where you go, what you eat, blah, blah, who you fellowship. What you embrace, it's your choice. So we can't blame that on anybody. Okay. I have something I want to share with this because I thought it was rich. I get a little paper every month from a fella, and he's a Christian, but he's really legal most of the time. However, he does know his history. So I enjoy reading his take on things. It's not always my take now. I don't always agree with him. But I did. This was good to me. He's talking about a thing called persistent prayer. Because people will say, well, I've already prayed for that, and I'm not praying for it anymore. Well, you dummy. Let me read you a little scripture. In Luke 11, 2 and 5, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Every one of us know the Lord's Prayer in America. I know we do. We learned it in school. All right. And church too, but our school said them years ago. It is the Lord's Prayer, from where he taught the power of persistent prayer, giving a parable about a man who had an unexpected guest at midnight. Has that ever happened to you? It's usually not a good thing. But anyway, having nothing to feed them, his friend kept pounding on the door. I mean, going to somebody's house at midnight to you and I would be a little crude and rude, especially begging bread. But though it was very inconvenient, it says, because of his persistence, the man will get up and give him what he needs. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. So sometimes you have to look for it. And he who knocks, it'll be opened unto him. That's just a promise. So don't quit crying out if you've been asking for something all your life. I'm going to ask for it till I quit breathing. Because I'm asking for someone else, not me so much. I'm not of that much value in it. I'm just a conduit for a father to give me a burden to pray for that person, knowing that each of us have great power. There's great power in prayer, no matter where you are or who you are. We just have to believe that we're more than we know. We're more than what you see. How does the little song go, Bev? Help me with somebody.
You're more than you know. You're more than what you see. Bigger than this flesh you're in.
Bigger than this flesh you're in and all that's in between. So if we could each know that divine part of us, we'll hear that and the answers will come. And it may take years and years. I mean, how long does it take a baby to develop? It takes time. And then that baby gets here and you have to teach it. If it's not taught, it can't grow. Okay. He says, is this open-ended permission for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, to him who knocks it shall be open? Is this open-ended permission? Will God give us everything we ask? Come on, folks, think about this. When I was younger in the Lord, in spiritual things, I didn't know really how to pray or what to ask for. I just asked for whatever my immediate need was at the time, instead of finding what the real depth of the thing was. Anyway, he says, I don't think so. This is the conclusion of this previous parable, where the need was very real. You see pain in somebody's life. All of us mothers have watched our children, and fathers have watched children suffer, or anyone. Sometimes people just touch your heart you don't even know, and you just want to help them. We were watching a film clip about the immigrants, and my mother heart just grew out of me like the Grinch that stole Christmas. It got huge. And, of course, I need to be realistic with that. Here these guards are having to turn away these mothers, some with children, motherless children, and having to deal with thousands of those a day. I would have to get tough. And I don't know if I could do that. Of course, these guards have been there and been through a lot, so they know the deal. But I did watch some yesterday and watched the guard to see where he was within himself. And I could see compassion on every one of those guards. Of course, that's what America is about, you know. But we have to be realistic about these immigrants. There is a legal way, and they must take that way and not use our country for a dumping ground. If we don't take care of ourselves first, we can't take care of anybody else. Kate, bring me a water, please. Anyway, this is the conclusion of the previous parable. Thank you. Where the need was real, the friendship was strong. Do you think that divine thing in you, the Christ within you, the hope of glory, doesn't know who you are? He's your friend. Of course he's your friend. We just don't realize how much this entity, Christ, is our friend and loves us beyond anything we can imagine. But we're the ones that set the limits and make the separations between us and him because of mentalities, usually. Conditioning of the mind. The faith of the petitioner in this, as his friend, was absolute. I believe this is going to happen somewhere. The scripture says, don't look at what you see, but look at the things that you hope for to unfold in your life and for others. Watch them develop. Let it have some time. I mean, none of us got here perfect. You do understand that, don't you? Don't you know we all got here with some kind of idiosyncrasies, which is makes us humanity. God wanted that. He had fellowship in the heavens, so to speak, on many realms. So he didn't want divine fellowship. He wanted a humanity where he could show them an expression that he could not express in the heavenlies. It had to be done with human beings. That's wonderful that he chose mankind to represent his love, the depth of his love. It's very evident in relationships with yourself, with your other, with your significant other, whatever they've got these days. I forget to call it. I don't know what the name is, but your friend. That's okay. That's an easy one. In such situations, even if the request seems outrageous, one can expect to receive an answer. In fact, the expectation is so solid that a person will persist until the provision is received, till it's manifest. I thought, I like that, Stephen. I need to write him a note, because that's beautiful. Let's see. Something I didn't mark, I guess, more to look for. Okay. Using what we are as our humanity as a vehicle. He says, a tractor is a very useful tool on a farm. But if the farmer uses their tractors only to run tractor races to see who has the greatest tractor, how in the world will they produce fruit? And that's what I can feel in religious things are how we believe. We all think that what we've got is the greatest. What each person can possess is wonderful. I love to get inside of people, talk to people. I really want to see, where are you coming from? So I can connect with wherever you're coming from. Maybe you've been through hell. Well, welcome to the club. We've all been through hell. I mean, it's here. You're not going to wait to burn. You're burning here sometimes. Or heaven. We choose that. We can choose to live in that low mentality, or we can choose to live in a higher place. I'm not going to feel that way or think that way. I admit this is mine. When I do feel a certain way, I don't put it off on anybody else or expect you to fix what's wrong with me. But I do say to myself, okay, what's this really about? And why do I feel this way? Where is this coming from in me? That's owning it. Just saying, yes, this is my problem. I choose to look at it. I will embrace it. I will think about it. I'll use Kate's word. I'll ponder this. Good. The scripture says Mary, Jesus' mother, pondered all the things that Gabriel announced to her about her being having a holy seed within her. Well, you, just like Mary, have a holy seed growing in your being. Your divinity is growing and meeting your humanity, and they're becoming one. Awesome. We haven't got there yet, but we're on the road. So we need to be encouraging one another, like the little engine that could, you know. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Then he got to, I know I can. And he finally got up that hill. Okay. Let's see where we want to go now. I said I wanted to talk about relationships, and I really do. But mainly the relationship you have with yourself. So I want to use a little scripture. If you want to follow me, you can. If you don't, that's cool too. Matthew 7. And I like to use the King James only because of its beautiful poetic nature. You could use any version of scripture if you choose, or you don't have to use scripture. Use what's written upon the tables of your heart, because when you chose to become humanity, and you did, when you wake up, you're going to know, I chose to be here now. To manifest in a body, I chose it. When you own your choosing, you will have grown a great deal. Now, a few times I've said, God, I don't believe I did this. Surely I did not stand back in the heavens or in your heart, whatever all that is, or in your presence and say, oh yes, we'll suffer all that stuff when I become human. But we do. We say, okay. And matter of fact, we not only do, we can't wait to be here so we can live out that emotion, that expression, that thought that's been entrapped in divinity. God needed humanity. He needed us. That's, to me, awesome. The husband needs a wife. He's like our husbandman, so to speak. Anyway, Matthew 7 and 21. And this is why I wanted to teach on relationships, because to me that's where everything is. Our relationship with ourselves, how we build our relationship with others, how we affect the next guy. Here Jesus is speaking. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is the kingdom of heaven? It's just righteousness, peace, and joy. It's not something out of your grasp. It's constantly for you to take and embrace. Sometimes I have to say, Lord, I don't even know what's righteous in this situation anymore. I'm so caught up in it. What is your righteousness? I ask him, show me whatever the righteousness of it is that will bring joy or peace to the situation. Please do that for me. Or the person, you know, I meet a lot of people that are in hell. They don't know they're in hell. They think they're going to go to hell. They're already in hell. Good grief. We don't need nothing worse than this, folks, sometimes. Anyway, or better. Here I sound like I'm complaining, but I'm really not. I tell people all the time, I wouldn't trade places with nobody, no time, nowhere, because I know who I am. And when you know who you are, you feel good about that. You don't feel superior. You don't feel inferior. You feel stable. Just walking on some steady, even ground. Isn't that beautiful? Anyway, he says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What heaven? Are we talking about a heaven afar off where all these stars and constellations and other universes and galaxies are? For heaven's sake, believe me, heaven is here and now. You pull it to you, so to speak. And there are realms of heaven, just like there's realms of hell and suffering. So you can choose a realm of righteousness, of peace and joy, and live in it and bring it to yourself. Or you can choose that trapped thinking that goes around in a circle like a pit and doesn't take us anywhere. I've been there and done that. That's awful. And I realize that I've dug out a trench around the mountain and I'm not climbing it, but I'm digging me a pit that I can't get out of. We're smart people. We get here with lots of sense. We ought to figure that out pretty soon. Anyway, he said, many will say to me in that day, Judgment Day? Okay. Whatever day that is. Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name. I've heard lots of people prophesy in my life. In his name. And I knew it wasn't in his name. And I knew they weren't prophesying truth. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know when somebody's missed it somewhere. We're all smart. You can detect that. You have a thing in you that is called a discerner. And everybody's got some of it. So we need to get your discerner out and use it. What wind is that? I watched a Tennessean guide yesterday on TV. He was guiding some people to the Smokies. Was it to Meg's Point, honey? Is that what it was? I never heard of Meg's Point, but of course you know Bill Landry, he tells the story. And it was beautiful. But what was I going to say? He said when he was taking them up the mountain, I mean, he was just full of instruction. He'd have been an awesome guide to have because he knew every tree, everything. He said, my mother was Cherokee, and she taught me never to look at the ground when I walked, but look at everything around me, keep my head up. I thought, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. Anyway, I forgot the point I was going to make. I'll have to come back. I went too far, I guess. In thy name we've cast out devils. I've seen people do that too. If you're into that, leave me alone. And in thy name, we've done many wonderful works for you. Well, did he ask you to do that? Do you know that that's what he wants for you? I've heard people impose other things on other people that they wanted them to do by manipulating them with this. God said for you to do thus and so. Well, wait a minute. I think I'm smart enough. If God wants me to do thus and so, he'll tell me. I'm not deaf, and I'm not dumb. Now, you may confirm it to me, but you're not going to know it before I do. And I know that's the truth. Besides, most prophecy, like I said, it'll fall through the cracks. If it's not manifest, obviously, it's a not truth at that time. He says, then I will profess to them, I never knew you. That is a huge word in the Greek language, the word knew. The word knew is the word for how a man covers his wife in the marriage bed, and she knows her husband so well, he gives her seed and they have children. It's out of a relationship. Do you hear what I'm saying? Somewhere, somehow, it's out of relationship. You couldn't mistake any other being on earth for my husband because we have a relationship. Or for Karen. Or for Beverly. And probably even Candy. I mean, I know who Candy is. So, that's born out of understanding and time and building. And you don't build a relationship in one night. It don't happen. It's just the beginning there. A relationship's built over time. And that's what the Christ wants from us. He wants a relationship where we can hear him speaking to us something other than our hellish thoughts that we want to think. Anyway, this is what he's saying to them. I never covered you. You and I never had a relationship. Yes, you used my name. You used my name plenty of times. But you didn't know me. We never built anything. And because of the name, as you know, people will honor a lot of things. My kids can show my credit card around and carry weight because they can spend it if I give it to them. Now, they don't do it without my permission, so I don't mean to say that, but your name carries weight. So he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. And what that word depart means, surprise me. The word depart here means there is a great emptiness and a space between you and I because you've made it so. You can choose to be a part of what he is and really want to hear what Spirit is saying. And if you don't, you're going to hear what your soul is saying all the time. And she's a liar, liar, pants on fire most of the time. Do you hear me? That's just what she is. If she doesn't have a relationship with him. He wants every part of us to know him and know ourselves, our humanity, and be happy with it. Do you ever thank God for just sending you? I appreciate being here and now. Now, it took me a while. I had some growing up to do after I got here. But don't we all, if we're honest? You don't get here with everything, so to speak. You have to embrace that and build that and work on that constantly. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The scripture says that this rock is Jesus. I firmly believe that because he became manifest as a babe and lived and suffered just like we do, and things we don't even know about. Scripture says he suffered in every point. When I was down a few times, I said, Lord, I doubt that. I just doubt that. You're going to have to explain that to me. But as I grew, I understood that he did suffer just exactly like me in all the realms that I'd ever suffered in. And he was allowing that suffering for my growth. Suffering will make you do something about it, right? If you're suffering, you're going to do something for help. And the rain descended on this house built on the rock, and it rains on the just and unjust. One is not more important than the other. It rains on you if you're just or you're unjust. It doesn't matter. It's happening on humanity. And the floods came. Floods in our life are those things that just overwhelm us sometimes. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's beautiful. The scripture says, I will lift a standard against it in the middle of it. If you're looking for the standard, it'll float your boat. We are afloat here, you know. Or we better be in an ark afloat, or we're blub blub. I'm floating. I understand the standard. And I don't only lift it for me, I'll lift it for you. Because we're supposed to keep that standard lifted. Anyway, the winds blew. Lord, I was going to tell that about the guy in the Smokies, the wind. Because I was so impressed with what he did. He said, if you want to know where the wind's coming from, wet your finger. I think he wetted his forefinger. And he said, hold it up and feel the direction of the wind. After you've wet your finger, it will start turning cool where the wind's coming from. And then it'll get cooler and cooler. That's the way the wind is blowing from. I thought, Lord, that is so rudimentary and elementary. Why don't we get it? When people are being negative, I don't have to hold my finger up. I know where they're coming from. And I want to say, you need to throttle yourself. And shut up that hellish talk. Because it's infecting everything around you. Not that I never do it now. But if I make a hell, I'll own it. I did that. Didn't necessarily like it, but I did it. I was part of it. Okay, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew. On all mankind, winds blow. All. Same wind. And they beat upon the house, but it did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. What did I tell you the rock was? You may not be serving Jesus Christ. I don't know what you're serving, all of you. But if you're not serving him, he can't serve you, and he don't. I watch people all the time saying, I'm believing on blah, 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 blah. Well, good. I can tell. Because your mouth is full of hell. That's all. It's very simple. I serve him because he was my only example. Now, there are many examples in the Old Testament leading up to whom he was that didn't make it. King David was one of them. We had that teaching last weekend, remember? He liked being king so much that he got a little haughty, proud, and arrogant. And God brought him down. Remember? He said, I deserve this, what's happening to me. I deserve to lose my son. Now, that's strong words. I don't know if I could ever say I deserve to lose my son. That would be hard for me. Anyway, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So when we embrace something other than what we really are, and we wake up in that place beyond death, so to speak, what is your answer going to be? How do you account for that? Well, I just lived my life. Cool. Just keep living your life. I'm going to let you reincarnate over and over and over. Do you quit living your life? Live my life in you. Embracing the humanity that you are at that time. I embrace here now. I don't know what I was or what I'm going to be. But I know what I am today. That's all that's required of me. Okay, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these statements or sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. He just spoke it straight. For he taught them as one having authority, and not like the scribes. You know, the scribes, they unroll them scrolls and read from daylight till dark, and it was so methodical. You can imagine how boring that would be. No emotion, just belting out that beautiful Hebrew with no understanding behind it. So Jesus gives it expression, just as you and I do in this life. Let your soul express. Let that spirit express. Quit putting rigid laws on yourself that don't work. Put some law. The law is holy. Put some law. It's rudimentary, but it's a good foundation. I'm watching our country, people disobeying the laws in every kind of avenue, upside down and backwards. Come on. We must obey the laws of our land. That's just a simplistic thing to me. Okay. To me, what he's saying here is all about a relationship. I want to really know you. I want you to know yourself. I want you to know how you affect other people in your life. How do you do that? Well, we can't recluse here, although I get to live a pretty quiet life most of the time. And I love that, but I keep it that way. Because I get to choose. He and I choose certain things. And if we don't choose, we just don't. And we let people know we don't choose that. You can choose it. But I don't have to choose what you choose. Okay. I think that's all I'm going to share today. If y'all want to discuss this, we can. I had some more scripture, but I'm not going to do it. Anybody got thoughts that they want to add or take away? It's freedom of speech here, James. We actually let people talk. It's great to share with you. I hope I made an avenue somewhere that'll be golden for you.
Yes, ma'am.
That you can walk up and down and say, hey, that's my golden avenue. I can walk up and down that avenue. It's mine. Because if you're waiting to walk on real streets to go, I'm afraid that's never going to happen, you know. Got to understand the gold in you is that divinity that lives inside of you. And it's awesome. And every man I've ever met that was awake consciously, it's beautiful what is imprisoned in most of them, in a tomb, is just so precious, so precious. It just needs awakening, a stirring. How do we do that? How do I stir those parts of me that I haven't looked at yet? But I need to look at all of those things. I must. Liz, I can see the beauty in you. I appreciate you coming and listening. All of you, for sure, but she was taking this in, so I hope it'll be an encourager for you. We'll come and hold hands and close the service.